Good morning and welcome to Catholic Views. I'm Jerry Klein. Thanks for joining us. We're going to talk about fishing this morning, both fishing men and fishing fish. It's the charity fishing tournaments coming up in early June. We're going to talk with Father Jordan Sampson and Kevin Fitzgibbons from the Catholic Community Foundation. Stick around for that, please. Gene Young will have news for us in just a bit. First, the readings for this Sunday in the Easter season. Brianna Wingen with the first and second reading. Deacon Bill Radio with the gospel.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. When the captain and the court officers had brought the disciples in and made them stand before the Sanhedrin, the high priest questioned them. "We gave you strict orders, did we not, to stop teaching in that name? Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and want to bring this man's blood upon us." But Peter and the apostles said in reply, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus, though you had killed him by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to grant Israel repentance and forgiveness of sins. We are witnesses of these things, as is the Holy Spirit whom God had given to those who obey him." The Sanhedrin ordered the apostles to stop speaking in the name of Jesus and dismissed them. So they left the presence of the Sanhedrin, rejoicing that they had been found worthy to suffer dishonor for the sake of the name. The word of the Lord. A reading from the book of Revelation. I, John, looked and heard the voices of many angels who surrounded the throne and the living creatures and the elders. They were countless in number, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain, to receive power and riches, wisdom and strength, honor and glory and blessing." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea, everything in the universe, cry out, "To the one who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor, glory and might, forever and ever." The four living creatures answered, "Amen," and the elders fell down and worshiped. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. At that time, Jesus revealed himself again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. He revealed himself in this way. Together were Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, Zebedee's sons, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We also will come with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. When it was already dawn, Jesus was standing on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, have you caught anything to eat?" They answered him, "No." So he said to them, "Cast the net over the right side of the boat, and you will find something." So they cast it and were not able to pull it in because of the number of fish. So the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he tucked in his garment, for he was lightly clad, and jumped into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, for they were not far from shore, only about 100 yards, dragging the net with the fish. When they climbed out on shore, they saw a charcoal fire with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you just caught." So Simon Peter went over and dragged the net ashore, full of 153 large fish. Even though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come have breakfast." And none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they realized it was the Lord. Jesus came over and took the bread and gave it to them, and in like manner the fish. This was now the third time Jesus was revealed to his disciples after being raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Simon Peter answered him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." He then said to Simon Peter a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Simon Peter answered him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." Jesus said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was distressed that Jesus had said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Amen, amen, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to dress yourself and go where you wanted. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." He said this, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had said this, he said to him, "Follow me." The Gospel of the Lord.
And now with a look at news highlights from this past week from the Bishop's Bulletin, here's Gene Young.
Thanks, Jerry. In the news this morning, many parishes across the Diocese of Sioux Falls will be celebrating the feast day of St. Isidore to bless the agricultural efforts of the farmers of the diocese. The feast of St. Isidore is May 15th. St. Isidore is the patron saint for farmers in rural communities. There are usually farm blessing masses celebrated as well as the blessing of fields and equipment. You can read and see more about the Feast of St. Isidore in the May edition of the Bishop's Bulletin in homes across the diocese right now and online at www.sfcatholic.org. In other news, in a memo released late this week, President Trump ordered changes for how refugees may apply for asylum to the U.S., requesting an application fee from asylum seekers and denying them permission to work depending on how the applicant entered the country. Though the changes are not immediate, the president gave administration officials 90 days to work on new regulations. In the memo addressed to the U.S. Attorney General and the Secretary of Homeland Security, President Trump said that the immigration and asylum system is in a crisis as a consequence of the mass migration of aliens across the southern border. He makes mention of caravans and large groups that travel with children. The extensive resources required to process and care for these individuals pulls U.S. Customs and Border Protection personnel away from securing our nation's borders, the president wrote. Additionally, illicit organizations benefit financially by smuggling illegal aliens into the United States, and organizations benefit financially as well, encouraging abuse of our asylum procedures. This strategic exploitation of our nation's humanitarian programs undermines our nation's security and sovereignty. In addition to the fees and eliminating work permits for those who entered the country illegally, the president called for all asylum applications to be ruled on within 180 days of filing. He said the purpose of the new norms is to strengthen asylum procedures to safeguard the system against rampant abuse of our asylum process. The anguish phone call started arriving shortly after 1 a.m. on Easter Sunday morning. Sri Lankan immigrants on Staten Island and Long Island, New York, spent the rest of the day anxiously waiting for news of family and friends after terrorists linked to the Islamic State group claimed responsibility for bombing three churches and three luxury hotels. The mourning process and memorial services began immediately, long before anyone knew whether the death toll included relatives or friends. Father Pereira, an associate priest at St. Boniface Martyr in Seacliff on Long Island, New York, managed to call his parents in Sri Lanka first. "They are safe, they are fine," but said he was unable to contact friends there even after social media connections were reestablished. The priest is from Colombo, the capital city of Sri Lanka, where St. Anthony's Shrine was a bombing target. The other two houses of worship involved were St. Sebastian's in Nagambo and the Evangelical Zion Church in Batacola. Summer Dickerson, a young woman who survived sex trafficking, said that 4 years ago when she sat on Millionaire's Row, an exclusive seating area at the Kentucky Derby, no one around her knew she wasn't there for the race. Dickerson shared her story recently at a news conference held by the Kentucky Attorney General's Office at Survivor's Corner, a resource center for victims of human trafficking in Louisville. Attorney General Andy Beshear said the news conference was meant to inform the public about human trafficking during the Kentucky Derby, a time when he said there is an increase in the buying and selling of individuals for forced labor and sex. With a look at the news from this past week, I'm Gene Young reporting from the Bishop's Bulletin Newsroom.
Boy, a topic we really got to stay on top of. We know that kind of happens at events here in our state as well, so grateful for that.
If you see something, say something.
Yeah, amen. Thanks, Gene, for the news. Let's move on to our interview. This morning on Catholic Views, we are joined by Father Jordan Sampson, who is the Associate Vocations Director for the Diocese of Sioux Falls. We also have Kevin Fitzgibbons from the Catholic Community Foundation. And when you bring those two things together, it probably means you're talking about the fishing tournaments. And we and we are. So that's a great thing. Good to have both of you with us today.
Thanks, Jerry.
Thank you.
So, Father Jordan, of course, we're going to talk to you about you're the beneficiary. The whole vocations effort is the beneficiary of the fishing tournaments. And gosh, these fishing tournaments have been going on such a long time that I think you were, even before, I think you were a seminarian, these fishing tournaments were going on.
Oh, yeah. They've been going on for a number of years. I think it's Father Doug Binsfeld, right?
Yeah. Way back.
Way back.
And I know you experienced them kind of through the years in these different roles that you have had, you know, obviously as a seminarian and maybe even before that, I don't know, but certainly now as working in the vocations area, it brings a kind of a new dimension for you. We're going to talk about that as we go along. Maybe, Kevin, I should have you first give some of the details so that as people listen this morning, if they're going, you know what, I could help out with that. Maybe I should be a part of that. They'll know it. And let's talk about that a little bit.
Definitely. So there's two opportunities to attend one of the Bishop's Charity fishing tournaments. The first being June 3rd at Big Stone Lake in Big Stone City. And the second being June 10th in Pier at the Owyhee Downstream Recreation Area. And both tournaments go to the same beneficiary, which is seminary and education, which is a huge and important thing in our diocese. We need to help give these young men the opportunity to discern what it is God's calling them to do in life and to be able to help their process of discerning what it is, you know, is a huge task to undertake, but it's also such a great task for us to help support.
I love the way an event like this the way it's kind of unfolded through the years. Father Jordan, you could speak to this yourself, because one of the beautiful things that happens in addition to the funds that are raised is the community that's built around these events. And that's a marvelous thing. And again, I know you've experienced it from multiple directions.
Definitely. Yeah, as a seminarian, I think I went to, at least six of these events throughout my years of studying for the priesthood. And to meet all the people that give so generously to support seminary education, I think that's what's such a benefit for the seminarians. They get to meet these people. I mean, Todd and Candy Close, man, I fished with them for like 2 years in a row. the Kelchins from Watertown, I would have never met them unless I was assigned to Watertown. So it was great. I enjoyed that a lot.
And what does that do for you as a seminarian? And think about now the seminarians that you're working with as in your role as the vocations, working with the vocations office. How does that help a young man kind of, in a sense, continue his own discernment?
Yeah, I mean, it does so many good things. I think to know you have the support of the diocese, to know that there are people who are just really promoting vocations. They want what's best for you. They want you to have good discernment. And to see that these events are kind of geared towards supporting that effort of good discernment for these men, that's definitely a benefit. And then if they get ordained, you have all these connections. You meet people. Again, it's a small diocese, larger geographically, but definitely we know each other, and that helps continue to grow that communal feel that the diocese has.
I always think too about what a challenge it is for a young man or a man of any age, frankly, that is considering the priesthood. You become such a public person, and I would think even things like this are kind of steps along the way to help you get just a little more comfortable in that role.
Yeah, being a public person, I do think one of the one of the hardest things to do is leave seminary because we support our seminarians so much, and you don't want to ever feel like you're letting someone down by leaving seminary. But even just recently, being in this office, having some of the guys who are discerning out, and having that be a good thing, like their letters are just so beautiful about the peace that they have, that they've had good discernment, that they're leaving because this is God's call. And these fishing tournaments, the connections they've made, I think have helped them reach that point of discernment.
And as we've talked many times, a good discernment out is as healthy as a good discernment in. And in terms of what it means for our diocese as well, I mean, you know, most of these guys are coming home and they're going to be involved in their parish. They're going to get married. They're going to do, you know, really great things that are going to be helpful to the church in the long run.
Definitely. Definitely. I've heard multiple, and this is college students. I've heard people involved in D camp, and then also these seminarians who may discern out it's maybe shouldn't be surprising to me, but people who are studying even outside the diocese, they're like, I love our diocese. And they say that quite frequently.
Yeah.
I love our diocese and I want to come back to the Sioux Falls diocese.
Yeah, that's great. Kevin, there's a lot of ways that people can be involved in these fishing tournaments. So there is a bit of a community that's built up and a lot of people that come back year after year after year, but there's always room for more. And there's always ways for people to get involved, I think, aren't there?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And like you were saying, people come year after year after year. Val Rausch, mm-hmm. rather, he's one of the chairmen for the Bishop's Charity Fishing Tournament. And he's been a volunteer for the tournament for like 22 years, mm-hmm. but he keeps coming back because he truly sees the value in helping with this tournament. And, we recently spoke and he said, you know, it's kind of like a big family reunion. You get all these guys who, you know, may not see each other up until this point in the year. And then when we get together, it's like just, you know, coming to a family reunion, everyone's hugging, everyone's talking, you know, it's just so enjoyable to see that. And we're all there for the common purpose of helping these young men further explore their faith journey.
Yeah.
You know, it's truly a wonderful thing.
And I wouldn't want people to get the impression that you can't break into that or that you can't, there's room for more people to become a part of that, to experience that goodness that happens.
Absolutely. Whether it's just coming and enjoying Mass with Bishop or, you know, coming in and fishing, and you might not necessarily have a boat. We had a couple people who did shore fishing, and just for the experience of being there with these young men and just talking about their journey and getting to know other people across the diocese, like Father Samson was saying, you know, he wouldn't have met these people from Watertown if it hadn't been for the fishing tournament. And that's so true. You meet so many wonderful people who all want the same thing, and that's a healthy diocese.
If you have ever thought, gosh, I wish I knew some of these guys before they become priests, well, here's a great opportunity to do that. You might find one of them in your boat, or you might find yourself in a boat with somebody that's in that discernment process.
Absolutely. And there's always the opportunity to, if you're a person that doesn't have a boat or are looking to get on a boat and you just purchase the individual fishing mm-hmm. ticket, I mean, we can find you a boat. You know, there's always that opportunity. And then you get to meet other great people across the diocese, like I was saying, who all want to help our diocese become a better and healthier diocese.
Are you saying, Kevin, that there is no competition at this? I think there is a little bit of competition as well.
There is competition, yes. There is always competition. It is a tournament after all. But it's a friendly competition. We'll leave it at that.
Is it really?
I would like to say so. Yeah, we all want each other to do well. But
now, Father Samson, I want you to weigh in on this because you have experience about, I think you've actually won this thing, haven't you?
I'm a champion.
That's what I thought.
Oh, my goodness.
So I know there's some company.
Thank you to some very knowledgeable fishermen. They help make me look good.
But you can speak to this, that it is really a healthy and a fun competition that happens, if I'm understanding it right.
Oh, totally. Yeah, it's a great time. And there are winners. You do get trophies. and plaques. Yeah. But it definitely is a good, healthy competition. Yep.
Here's what I always wonder, because I actually, all these years that I've been involved with the Diocese of Sioux Falls, and I have yet to get to a fishing tournament, I'm a bit embarrassed to admit that. But one of the questions I've always had is, and Father Sampson, probably you can answer this better than Kevin can, what happens to the fish? Who gets the fish?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, someone cleans it. I don't know who. This is the expert. It's probably a Vandover.
You know, uh-huh.
Just one of those Vandovers. At least a Big Stone. I don't know about Pier.
So do you get to, take your fish home?
They let you take some home. Yeah, definitely.
That's awesome.
Absolutely.
Yep.
That's awesome. And licenses and all that stuff, do we have to figure that stuff out ahead of time?
Yes. If you do not have your license, I would recommend that you pick one up. And that's good throughout the entire year. So it's not just, you know, I mean, you can get a day pass or like a 3-day pass or something like that. But if you purchase the year-long fishing pass, I believe it's, you know, maybe $20, and it's good all year long. So if you do ice fishing too, it's great. And if you feel inspired after this tournament, you can go out and, you know, go fishing again.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
or come out to the pier tournament too.
It's kind of a great way to start the fishing season. I know for some they've been out there for a couple of months already, but for others, this may be the first shot.
Absolutely. You know, and I love seeing the young kids coming out and experiencing it for the first time. You know, I know the Vandovers, like Father Sampson was saying, there's a horde of them.
Yeah.
But it's always good seeing those young kids and the closes, bringing their kids and getting them involved and, you know, getting to interact with these young men. And, you know, I had the opportunity to talk to them last year, and it was so great because they're just average, normal people, just like you and me. They just have a different calling that they're exploring.
Absolutely. And if people are interested as they listen this morning, is it an online sort of thing, or how do they go about getting involved?
Yeah, absolutely. If they come to our website, which is ccfesd.org, you can go to our main page, and we have a picture that you can click on that will direct you to the fishing part of the website. And you can purchase your ticket online, or you can print off a registration form and print it off, fill it out, and send it to us. Or you can call us at 605-988-3765, and our staff will help take care of you.
So if you're hearing this morning and you think, you know, I got a couple more questions I got to get clarified, call the number.
Yeah, absolutely.
They'll be able to help you out. Father Sampson, Kevin mentioned something about, you know, the young men that maybe even aren't in the seminary yet that come to an event like this. Probably maybe guys that you are talking to, or Father Haggerty are talking to, about the potential of going to the seminary. This is a great way for them to get introduced as well, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's great to meet seminarians. If you're even considering it, it's helpful just to know someone who's going through that process and maybe ask a few questions or maybe just be intrigued by their life and consider seminary yourself. Yeah, we'd love to have young men there that are open to the possibility of discerning priesthood.
And again, if you're listening this morning, I know one of the things that you guys have really worked hard at is if you have a young man who wants to come and he doesn't have a boat or he doesn't have a sponsor or whatever, there's a way to make that happen.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And the prices are pretty affordable too. I mean, we provide breakfast, lunch, and the prime rib dinner at the end of the night. So the event itself, you know, registration begins early in the morning at 7 or 6, I believe, 6:30 in Pier. But the tournament itself stays the same. Tournament begins at 8 a.m. and weigh-in is at 2:30, with Mass being celebrated by Bishop Swain and all the area priests that come up for the tournament itself, co-celebrating at 3:30. And then after that, we have a nice social that people get to interact with everyone mm-hmm. who attended the fishing tournament who just want to come and experience Mass with Bishop Swain. We all just get to interact with one another. And then the outdoor prime rib dinner is later that evening at 5 p.m. So it's a really a full day, but it's so fast. It moves so quickly. I mean, it just goes by in a blink of an eye.
And you can plug into different pieces of that, like we said earlier, if you're not a person who enjoys being on a boat or even fishing from shore, you can come to the later part of the day and enjoy those events.
Absolutely. Just enjoy Mass with Bishop and get to meet these young seminarians and get to hear their stories.
And Father Samson, if you could say a word about why, you know, how this helps in terms of the financial support that it offers to, you know, the work that you do, but maybe even more so, again, knowing how challenging this can be financially for some of the guys, for the diocese, it's not an inexpensive process.
Totally, yeah. Education in the seminary, like you said, is not cheap. And so to remove that financial burden for some of these men to have the freedom to discern without that kind of hanging over their head, they're still financially involved. They do invest some of their own finances to study in the seminary, but we as a diocese have very generously pay a lot of their educational costs so that they don't have loans, or extreme loans at least, to worry about as they discern for the priesthood.
Yeah, and I think for some families that's a real that can be a game changer for some of them. I think, you know, for mm-hmm. for the parents as well, as they consider a son who totally. may be considering this.
Yeah, that can be a factor. I mean, money is it's a huge factor in education in general, and for the seminaries that we choose, they're especially not cheap. So this helps a lot.
I keep thinking about how our, you know, kind of our culture keeps evolving, and you know how some may view an event like this, the fishing tournaments themselves, as sort of a quaint sort of a thing. But boy, I think there's just a lot of value in an event like this for just all the different reasons we've already spoken about. But if nothing else, just as almost a countercultural sign. And I don't, Father, if that makes sense, or if I'm right about thinking about it that way.
Yeah, I mean, I was just with a bunch of the fact that it's a fundraiser for our diocese. It says something about our culture too. That in South Dakota we fish, in South Dakota we hunt pheasant. Mm-hmm. You know, these are our fundraisers.
Yeah,
and to get people outdoors, to get people to meet each other, who share this common faith and mission for the diocese, the general mission of the diocese, to bring Christ, to bring the gospel, to continue to spread the gospel. It definitely is a unique event. For when you look around at other dioceses, I think we do something really beautiful here in these events and in the connections they make.
And here's my final question to you, Father: Are you coming back to defend? Are you going to be there? You're going to be the champion again?
I will be there this year.
Excellent.
As an associate vocations director, I will be at the fishing tournaments and fishing. I've been to them recently, but only have been eating the great meal today.
You're going to be in the boat this time.
I'm going to have to get in a boat this time.
Awesome. That's awesome. All right, Kevin, one last, as we wrap up this morning, the registration again, how do they do it if they want to do that online?
Yeah, absolutely. Just visit our website at ccfesd.org, or you can call at 605-988-3765, and one of our staff members will be there to help take care of you.
June
3rd.
And June 10th.
And June 10th.
You can go to either one. You can go to both. I hope everybody does.
Absolutely.
Great events. Father Jordan Sampson, Kevin Fitzgibbons, thanks for being with us this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Gene, fun to hear about these events, but boy, there's a lot coming. There's graduations, there's ordinations.
Hard to believe it's May already, but it is going to be a busy time. Check your calendars to make sure you take advantage of every one of them.
Great opportunities to celebrate the church and our faith, so we appreciate that. That's our time for Catholic Views this morning. We'll be back next Sunday.